Mr. Scott Bischoff, who recently joined forces with us on the Mighty Podcast and is doing some great work for us. Scott, it's great to have you on. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on. We've become a Death Star, huh?
We are certainly working towards that.
Oh, boy.
So, we are now 1-3. We're looking at the juxtaposition of having the best offense in the league against the worst defense in the league. And I'm having trouble reconciling that. Like, should I be excited about the offense? Should I be, you know, throwing myself in Lake Michigan over the defense? Where are you at on balancing that?
Oh, man. It's a hard thing to balance. I think...
It is.
Just like anything else, when things are great, it's fun to watch, and it's cool to see how explosive they are and all those things, but... By the same token, it's easy to watch and see how bad things are on defense. So, and we tend to, I think we're just hardwired in, at times as fans of this team to be a little more focused and driven on what's going on, what's wrong, or finding things that are wrong, finding things that are looking wrong and focusing there. I mean, we could be hopeful at both of those things in totality, if that makes sense. We can see the offense being super explosive and electric and doing all these things without very important parts of the offense and without Jameis and Williams in the mix yet, and see that there's hope for, and reasons to be very hopeful for what they're doing, while understanding that what they're doing on defense is not good enough. So it is a hard thing to balance. It's hard to understand it, even watching it on film, as I'm sure you know. There seems to be things that they're doing defensively that don't make a lot of sense.
There's an understatement.
Yes, but then taking a step back and looking at it and thinking, okay, this is why they're doing this. If they didn't, we'd be killing them for it. I don't know if you need me to explain.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. Can you go into detail on that? Because one of the things we're trying to, like, Dan Campbell has admitted that things need to change, and I'm curious, like, what would be one of the things that you would change to help the defense?
So there's a few things I would do immediately. I would ask Charles Harris to play better. First thing. I would put Aiden Hutchinson in a 2-point stance instead of with his hand in the dirt all the time. I think it's very widely known that he prefers standing up and rushing from a stand-up position. And I think burying him inside in a 3-point stance is taking away some of his strengths, which is you know, instincts and
His hand usage is so good on the outside, and you're taking that away when you're making him raise that hand up. It gives the defender that, or the blocker that much more time to prepare for him.
It actually makes the hand, so when he's outside, I think the shorter arms are actually good for him, the way he uses them. But when you're inside, it negates that. It takes it away. So you're taking away that inside swipe move that he loves so much, and you're making him a little more uncomfortable. So I mean, the pass rush wise, that's where I would look. I think what Aaron Glenn's doing is trying to manufacture pass rush and pressure by blitzing in like non-conventional ways, blitzing linebackers, corners, safeties, that kind of stuff. It's super aggressive. When you do that, you're asking for the players in the back end of your defense to kind of hang man to man against, at least this week. I mean, that's what it looked like. They would just all out blitz. And in the back end, you're playing man to man. Somebody's manning up Metcalf. Good luck. Somebody's manning up Tyler Lockett. Same thing. Good luck. Like those are good receivers. But I think the reason why they're doing it is because they understand that they're not going to generate pass rush traditionally and conventionally. So it's frustrating that they're doing the things they're doing and they're vacating huge parts of the field, knowing that they're not going to get pressure in a conventional way, but then taking a step back thinking, okay, if they didn't do that and they gave Geno Smith 7 seconds, whatever, 5 to 7 seconds in a pocket to just hang in there and find somebody open, they're going to get torched that way too.
Yeah, and so, we see that, like, asking Amani Arawaye to cover anybody for more than 3 seconds, it ain't going to happen. So
we'd be having a conversation right now about if Aaron Glenn just played super conservative and had played in coverage across the board and rushed 4 and never got home, you and I would be screaming right now, how about some blitzing? So, but somewhere in the middle there is a fine line of, all right, you blitz too much, you probably became a little too reliant upon it. Obviously, Seattle saw it on film and took advantage of it. So, I mean, that's the answer. You exposed your hand and you kind of kept going back to that hand, and it beat them. So, I mean, those are the things that I would do. Is I would choose to find a way. And I'm not saying they can even do this, but find a way to get some more traditional pass rush. I think you can get that with Hutchinson, moving him a little more outside and getting him standing up. That doesn't even mean that Hutchinson has played poorly, and I think there is a narrative out there that he has.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'm doing the film review, and it will be up at Lions Wire tomorrow morning of my breakdown of his game. I thought he actually played pretty well considering the circumstances that are going on around him. And one of those circumstances, and I want to ask you about this, Michael Brockers might be the worst defensive lineman in football right now. Is there any way that we can expect anything more out of him, or is it time to just turn the page on that?
I think getting a guy like Josh Pascal, off of IR or whatever it is that he's on, after the bye, helps to move on from Brockers. I've liked Brockers' game for a very long time. It seems that even in the preseason, there were times when he would just get washed down the line of scrimmage, where it's just like he's not winning his gap. Maybe injuries have caught up. I don't really know. Their interior. Aleem McNeil has been great.
Yes, he has. I'm glad you mentioned that.
He's been really, really good. I think Hutchinson's played better than a lot of people think. We have to remember he's a rookie. If you look at his pass rush win rates, I think he's ahead of a lot of premier pass rushers when they were in their rookie years. It doesn't seem like it, but I think he is winning more. I think if we were to just chart the double teams where he's seeing double, because Charles Harris is just not winning, I think we'd be surprised at how much he's getting doubled, and still somehow managing to get a little bit of pressure here and there. He's squeezing. He's close. It's just not finishing right now. But I think the nuts and bolts of the entire thing is the Lions and their coaching staff know that they are not generating pressure with their front four. If we're looking ahead at the draft, finding an interior pass rusher with quickness is a premium for them. Kicking Pascal inside, I think, and leaving Hutchinson maybe. I mean, think about the idea of playing Pascal inside and Hutchinson wide on the same side of the ball.
I like
what that can do.
I like right? that. And we saw when John Kaminsky was in the game and healthy, he made a positive impact. Yes. He's a great facilitator for a guy like Hutchinson, because he's going to seal the edge on a twist or a stunt, and he knows exactly how to handle it. And they've clearly missed him, and he should be back after the bye. We're going to see Pascal after the bye. He should be. It sounds like he's going to be. They're going to start the clock tomorrow on him to return from PUP. You have 3 weeks to bring him back. Expect both him and Jerry Jacobs to be back after the break, and that's going to help too, getting Jerry Jacobs into the game. How much do you think those guys coming in can make an impact, or a positive impact, I should say?
Well, Pascal's going to be kind of touch and go just because he's a rookie, and the core injury thing is a tough thing to recover from, especially right away. It just is. I think as a situational player, at certain times, yeah, he can be very helpful. I wouldn't count on him for a ton of snaps. and a ton of, you know, a ton of volume production right away. Jacobs is a different story. I think once Jacobs gets, you know, his feet under him, which I think happens very quickly for a guy like that, the question then becomes is who goes inside? Like, I think Jacobs and Okuda are your outside corners. Yeah, I mean, some of back to the game plan. Asking Jeff Okuda to bully DK Metcalf at the line of scrimmage the way he did to Justin Jefferson is a losing proposition. It just is.
And Okuda, you know, Okuda's been great, but that's
Okuda's
not.
Okuda's been awesome.
That's not what you can do with it. Like you're not going to press DK Metcalf, and like that's a bug on a windshield. You can't do it.
Yeah, and so this is where like the loss of Tracy Walker is such a huge thing. So you eliminate. I mean, you know, if you're not playing the split zone looks, the two high looks, you're essentially saying that. So before Tracy Walker gets hurt, the Lions are about half the time. It's like 40% of the time they're in cover one, cover three. 50% of the time they're in that split zone look, and then about 10% it's cover zero. So losing, and I don't know exactly what it looked like this week, but losing Tracy Walker means I think you have a hard time deploying the split zone stuff, which means you have to go to your cover one, cover three man looks in the back end, a lot of single high, and you're lacking playmaking ability.
Yeah, and your high safety back there is rookie Kirby Joseph making his defensive debut.
Good luck.
Just not a good matchup against a team that offers DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, has good pass catching tight ends. We didn't even know Colby Parkinson existed. Now he's apparently an all-star.
Will Disley? Yeah, I mean they have it was a very bad matchup, and the injuries. I don't expect them to change all that much this week. Obviously, it's a significantly better matchup against New England. They don't have DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett. But I think coming out of the bye, you're going to see them a little bit more conservative and just in zone looks in the back end of their defense while doing everything they can to generate a little pass rush in other ways. Doesn't mean that it's going to be super effective, but it also, I mean, maybe you get off the field, you know, here and there.
Can you get them to punt once?
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think we all just need to kind of take a deep breath on where they are. This was a bad defense last year, production-wise, point scoring-wise, it was. You're missing big pieces. Tracy Walker, the loss of Tracy Walker is bigger than I think a lot of people think at this point, because that split zone stuff allowed them to play, you know, depending on what teams did lining up, it allowed them to play, you know, a little man on one side of the field, a little zone on the other side of the field. That can be somewhat confusing for quarterbacks. It allows them to match up a little better. I mean, you know, think about just how you would have handled Lockett and Metcalf. My guess is you would roll a safety over the top of Metcalf and you would have pressed Lockett with Okuda. And I'm not saying, you know, Okuda would have lit up Lockett like he did with McLaurin or Devonta Smith or Jefferson, but I think your chances of winning in those situations are a little better. But without Tracy Walker and with Kirby Joseph on the field, it just changes the ability for you to do those things. Then it didn't seem like he really changed their game plan much and just threw the rookie out, you know, to the wolves.
And this is where the juxtaposition comes in, is because we've seen Ben Johnson adapt the offensive game plans to suit the personnel that he's got. Like, they're not asking Dan Skipper to be Jonah Jackson. They're asking him to be the best Dan Skipper that he can be.
Sure.
And it's working. And it's banging your head into the dashboard, man, of like, why can't Aaron Glenn see that? And that's why we're all frustrated.
To me, I think it's a lot easier to do things on offense. It's a lot easier to dictate the terms of what you're doing on offense than it is on defense, especially when you have Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell. You know what I mean? When you have Frank Ragnow, it's a little easier to run the ball with those guys. It's a little easier to keep yourself in good down and distance.
Yeah, and they're doing that. They're doing a great job of it.
They are, and I just think that, you know, the defense looks like they're not playing with confidence. They know that they're having a hard, that, you know, I mean, I'm sure Aiden Hutchinson will tell you right now that he needs to be better, that he needs to get more pressure. He's doing everything he can. It's not that he's not putting out effort. It's just, you know, there's only so much you can do. You know, the other part of it too is you look at Charles Cross and you look at Abraham Lucas, and those guys are playing really well for rookies.
They are, and that's something, and this is something that I talk about. I'm talking with Scott Bischoff here from the Detroit Lions podcast, and you know him from a lot of places. Scott is one of the best Lions minds and draft minds. That's actually how we commiserate together, is by talking draft. We're going to leave that out a little bit today, though. Yeah, we'll have plenty of that coming up over the next few months. By the way, the Rams draft pick is looking a little bit better for the Lions, isn't it?
I know that's the undersold story of the season so far.
Yeah,
it's nice.
It is. Real quick, so you talked about adding an interior defensive pass rusher. What else were you looking at as prime draft priorities? Obviously, it's a long ways away. We still have, what, 14, 15, 13 games to go. I can't do the math with a 17-game schedule. It's just not natural. But where else are you looking for places that the Lions should be considering with their first 2-3 draft picks?
Well, clearly on the defensive side of the ball, I think that, you know, obviously you need more pass rush, you need more disruption, and it's as simple as that. Disruption is production. So looking at a player like Jalen Carter from Georgia, I know everybody loved the Georgia D-line dudes last year. Everybody did. But to me, the best Georgia defensive lineman is in the draft this year, and that's Jalen Carter. And that, he's a monster inside. He really is. Now, I don't think you're in a situation where you're really going to get to him. I mean, you know, if they continue to struggle like this on defense, maybe. But the idea of having a player lined up as a three technique, you know, next to Aleem McNeil, and just getting into the backfield immediately, commanding double teams, opening up the defensive end to win one-on-one is huge. So, you know, I think that's an area that you'd have to address. I know the Lions like their linebacking core going into the season, and, you know, for a good reason, they should love what Rodriguez is giving them, but you need more.
Definitely.
You know, and then it's filling out the back end of that defense with talent and playmaking ability, and then, you know, ultimately, I mean, what's going to happen with Onwuzurike? Is he gonna come back? I mean, you know,
there's a question that nobody seems to want to touch. Dan Campbell talked about it just a little bit this week and said, don't expect him anytime soon. I read that as don't expect him this year. That's just my thought on it.
That's a significant. So to me, I read the exact same thing, Jeff, and I think he's probably going to have back surgery to try to fix this. It's a huge loss because that's your three tech that you're kind of depending on to be more disruptive than McNeil, while being able to, you know, to handle gap responsibility and all that stuff. It's a giant loss.
It really is. And it's unfortunate because you and I saw him at the Senior Bowl dominate for the one day before he hurt his back there. This is back in 2019. It's frustrating.
When he's on, man,
But he ain't going to be on the field for a while. Scott, thank you so much for joining me. You were my first guest of the day, so you get special privilege for that. What do you got coming up with the Detroit Lions podcast this week?
So we have we're going to have a game preview on Friday morning, the New England game. And following that, next week we'll have a game wrap-up kind of thing. So that's what we're going to have weekly. We're going to have at least two little videos that you can find, and they'll be out on Twitter, and check them out.
Awesome. Scott Bischoff, everybody, from the Detroit Lions podcast. Thanks so much for coming in, Scott.
Have a great one.
Good to talk to you.
Yep.
Love that guy.